From Spark and Anvil and Grammarforge, this is Mayor Subject in Chapter 1 of the Grammarforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
In every town, someone has to be in charge. The same is true for every sentence. That's what Mayor Subject believed, and she had spent 19 years proving it. Her office was in a building called the Town Hall, a quiet, wood-paneled room at the heart of the Grammarforge Academy. From her desk, she presided over a very particular kind of town. It was a place that existed inside every complete thought, a tiny, well-run municipality called Sentence Town. And in Sentence Town, she was the mayor. It wasn't a town with streets and houses. It was a town of jobs. Verb Verity was the chief of operations, the one who got things done. Object Auto handled public affairs, managing whoever received the action. Modifier Madge and Modifier Mike were the town decorators, adding color and detail. Connector Chen was the diplomat, building bridges between one idea and the next. All 12 officials had a role. But the mayor's role was the one that mattered most. This wasn't vanity. It was a simple fact of civic life. A sentence, like a town, needed a leader. It needed a single, named person, or thing, that was doing the action. Some sentences could get by without an object. Many managed just fine without adjectives or conjunctions. But no sentence could function without a subject. Without a mayor, nothing gets done. The whole system falls apart.
Her given name was Sarah, but no one had called her that in years. She had grown up in a real-world village called Subjectia, a happy coincidence she never made a big deal about. It was a quiet market town in the central provinces, with a real mayor, a clerk, and a constable who kept the peace. As a child, Sarah spent hours watching them work. What she noticed, sitting on the stone wall of the market square, was how clear everything was. Each task had exactly one person in charge. The mayor decided when the market opened. The clerk recorded the day's sales in a heavy ledger. The constable handled runaway goats. One job, one person. If the constable went home, the goats ran free. If the mayor fell ill, the market stayed shut. Without the decider, there was no decision. When she was 9, she realized something. The village wasn't just a village. It was a structure. It was a collection of named people doing named things. Years later, in a dusty classroom, a teacher explained the parts of a sentence. He drew a line down the middle of the board. On one side, he wrote subject. On the other, he wrote verb. He said a sentence needed both to be complete. Sarah's hand shot up. "It's like the mayor and the market," she said. The teacher blinked. "I'm sorry?" "The subject is the mayor," Sarah explained. "The verb is what the mayor decides to do. You need both."
The teacher stared at her for a long moment. Then a slow smile spread across his face. He was delighted. At 19, Sarah walked to the Grammarforge Academy with a single heavy notebook under her arm. Inside, she had analyzed 1,000 sentences from books she had borrowed. Each sentence was numbered. Its subject was circled in neat red ink. A small note in the margin identified it as a noun, a pronoun, or something else entirely. Her method was exact. The academy master, a thoughtful man named Claus, took her notebook. He sat and read for a full hour, turning the pages carefully. He didn't say a word. Finally, he closed the cover and looked at her over the top of his spectacles. "You are appointed to teach the subject," he said. His voice was quiet but firm. "Take a year to settle in. We will hold the mayoral election after that, so you understand our traditions." Sarah accepted. She taught for a year. She stood for election. The vote was, as everyone expected, a formality. She was elected unanimously. She had been mayor subject ever since. Now, on the first day of every new term, she began her lesson the same way. She wore a small silver chain of office around her neck. It was just a teaching prop, but it felt right. She sat at her desk in the town hall and waited for the students to settle. "Every sentence needs a mayor," she would begin, her voice calm and clear.
The mayor is the subject. The mayor is who does the action. Without a mayor, the action has no one to do it. The sentence does not work.
She stood and wrote on the board in crisp white chalk. The dog barked. She tapped the chalk beneath the dog. This is the subject, she said. The dog is doing the barking. The dog is the mayor of this sentence. Then she erased the first two words, leaving one behind. Barked. She turned to the class. A few students frowned in confusion. This is not a sentence, she said gently. Barked is a verb, an action. But the verb has no actor, no mayor. We don't know who barked or what barked. The thought is incomplete. Finally, she wrote a new phrase.
Eat your dinner. Now this one is tricky, she said. It looks like a sentence without a mayor, but the mayor is there. The mayor is just invisible. She looked around the room. Who is being told to eat? A girl in the front row raised her hand. Me? Exactly, you, said mayor subject. The mayor is you, the person receiving the command. We just don't say the name out loud. The subject is implied. She wrote a small word in parentheses before the sentence. You eat your dinner. A quiet ripple of understanding went through the room. It was always like this. The children had been told about subjects before, but they had never been told that every sentence had a doer. Mayor subject made the idea visible. They aren't hard to find, she always told them when a student asked. Just ask the question, who or what is performing the action? The answer is your subject. Find the mayor. The rest of the town will fall into place. She still wore the silver chain to every lesson. Sometimes at the end of class, a child would ask to hold it. She always said yes. Over 19 years, she figured maybe 4,000 children had felt the cool, smooth weight of the chain in their hands. They always left her classroom standing a little taller, with a clear sense of who exactly was in charge.
You've been listening to a Spark in Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to mayor subject. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.